23, and the next one is John 10, beginning in verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Okay, now from John 10. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. Thus ends the reading of the word. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. The children are invited to children's church at this time.
Father, thank you for your grace and love. Now we open the scripture by the name of Jesus Christ. May your spirit guide our thoughts and open our understanding. Speak to us, O Lord, and lead us in your truth. May the word we hear today, this morning, transform us and shape us to walk in your ways. In the name of Jesus, the Good Shepherd, we pray. Amen. As we celebrate this Lenten season, we deeply reflect on Psalm 23. Last Sunday, Pastor Bill made a great introduction, focusing on the Lord is our shepherd, and we shall not want. And today, we're going to move to the next verse, 2. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. But before opening this second verse, I want to ask a question. What would you see if you were to walk through a Roman Catholic cemetery? I'm pretty sure you would see many crosses and crucifixes and prayers for the dead. And if you visited a Protestant cemetery, you would find many scripture verses and especially messages of hope in the resurrection of Christ. But these kinds of cemeteries came much later in church history. What about the early Christians? The earliest Christian burial sites looked quite different. If you go back to the 2nd to 4th centuries, when many Christians faced persecutions, they didn't have cemeteries like we do today. Instead, they buried their dead in so-called catacombs. Actually, when archaeologists first explored those catacombs, they were surprised because the most common image was neither a cross nor a symbol of a suffering Christ. but it was the shepherd. Yes, in those catacombs where early Christians buried their dead, they didn't carve crucifixes. Instead, they carved the pictures of Jesus as a shepherd, carrying a lamb on his shoulders, walking through peaceful fields, and giving rest to his sheep. This painting is an early Christian fresco from the Roman catacombs around the 3rd century AD. It depicts Jesus as a shepherd caring for his sheep on his shoulder. As the picture shows, early Christians confessed Jesus as the shepherd. In times of persecution, they didn't just see Jesus as a distant king or a suffering savior, but as a shepherd, the good shepherd, who knew them, called them by name, and led them to green pastures. Unfortunately, yet over time, this image of a shepherd disappeared. And it was replaced by the image of the judge and the suffering Christ. Of course, these are meaningful images too. But have we lost something essential as we walk through this Lenten season? Abraham Kuyper, he was a Dutch theologian, journalist, and prime minister, right? Of course, you know, he shaped Reformed thought with his emphasis on God's sovereignty over all of life and sphere sovereignty. For sure, he's had a big impact on our denomination, the Christian Reformed Church, especially in how we think about faith, culture, and education. He once pointed out two extremes when it comes to Lent season. Some people spend Lent with a strict fasting, while others ignore it completely. He said both were one-sided. Kuyper warned that Lent should not be reduced to a short-term spiritual effort. And he challenged us with a brilliant question. If we strive to live a godly life only during Lent, won't we become complacent afterward? I think he's right. Lent is not merely about tradition, but I believe it's a solemn invitation to follow our Lord as the good shepherd in our daily lives. Today's text, Psalm 23, verse 2, describes like this. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. What a wonderful expression. But, you know, maybe just me, but as an English, as a second language speaker, the phrase, he makes me lie down, sounds like a bit forceful. I mean, God is not wrestling the sheep to the ground. He's not holding a lamb, and trust me, buddy, you've got to take a snap! He doesn't do that. Even though I have never tried to make a sheep lie down, I know it's not as easy as telling a dog to sit. There's an old saying, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. Well, with a sheep, you can't make them lie down unless certain conditions are met. Indeed, sheep will only rest when four things are true. They are well fed. A hungry sheep won't lie down. It will keep wandering around like someone looking for snacks at midnight. They are not thirsty. If they are thirsty, they will stay restless, always looking for a drink. They feel safe. Even if a wolf or a predator is far away, they are always ready to run away. They are free from irritations. Flies, bugs, or a pushy neighbor can keep them off. So, If any one of these is missing, the sheep won't lie down. This is why the phrase "he makes me lie down" sounds like it can be a bit misleading. Then, what is the right direction to read? If you look into the Bible a little, you may have heard that the Old Testament was written in Hebrew and the New Testament was written in Greek. But there is also a very important translation called the Septuagint. Now, the name Septuagint actually comes from the Latin word for 70, because it was translated by around 70 Jewish scholars. It's the Greek translation of the Old Testament made about 200 years before Jesus' time. The Septuagint is very important because it was the first major translation of the Hebrew scriptures into Greek language. And of course, many early Christians, including even the original writer of the New Testament, they quoted from this translation. The thing is, the phrase, "he makes me lie down," is translated in the Septuagint using the Greek word kataskem, which means to settle down, to rest. And it's often used to describe animals or people finding a peaceful place to stay. This word emphasizes a secure, restful dwelling provided by the shepherd. The point is, a shepherd doesn't force his sheep to lie down. Instead, he provides what they need so that they naturally settle and rest. Our God doesn't force us to rest, but He leads us into His abundant grace in Christ. That's the grace. Amen. Where grace is abundant, sheep are quietly satisfied. Then they lie down, and the food digests. Imagine a dog after a big meal. Belly up, legs sprawled in all directions, snoring like an old man on a rocking chair. It doesn't have a care in the world. The only thing on its mind is when the next step will next. Now, picture a sheep. Wide-eyed and alert. Its ears twitch at every sound. And its body is tense, ready to run at any moment. Even if it's exhausted, it won't lie down unless it feels completely safe. Like us. Simply put, sheep don't know how to rest on their own. No. They need something. They need a shepherd to take care of their hunger, their thirst, their safety, and their peace. And for that, the shepherd must find green pastures for them. But in the Middle East, sheep herding happens in two main ways. One is semi-nomadic. This type is like moving with large flocks and following seasonal rains. They spend months away from their villages searching for fresh pasture. And another type is village shepherding. Actually, this is a type more common way. In many villages, families have only a few sheep each, poor. So they combine their flocks together and young shepherds take them out to graze every day. The thing is, green pastures are very rare in the Middle East. Because the land is dry most of the year. There is a scholar who spent 30 winters in the Middle East observing that green pastures appear only for 3 months a year, November to February. The rest of the time, the land is dry and barren. Therefore, finding rich green grass is really rare, like a hidden treasure in the wilderness. That means lush green pastures don't just pop up. A shepherd must scan the hills and raid the land to find grass. He cannot just take his sheep anywhere. He has to lead them to the right place at the right time. If he moves too soon, the grass won't be ready. If he waits too long, the grass will be gone. So the shepherd moves his flock daily to the right place at the right time. Again, because this land, finding green pastures is not easy. This is not like Oregon. Here we have four lush seasons. We are enjoying endless green pastures here. Even the cows seem to be on a permanent vacation, right, Art? Not so in the Middle East. Green pastures are rare. They are hidden. Only a good shepherd knows where to find them. And the sheep better stay close, otherwise they will be chewing on dust. Now, imagine the rocky hills of the Holy Land. Dry, rocky, and tough. The sun beats down, and for most of the year, everything looks brown and dusty and dry. Then, a light rain begins to fall, gently moistening the earth. Slowly, the land starts to change. Tiny blades of grass poke through cracks in the hills. Patches of green carefully spread out. Now the shepherd cautiously moves and leads his flock down the slopes along winding paths to the best grazing spots. Green succulent pastures, what a rare delight. But what about sheep? What should they do? Sheep don't choose when or where to go. That's not their job. They only should follow when the shepherd calls them. Sheep don't need to figure it out. They just need to stay close and trust the shepherd, his lead. It's hard. So I think this beautifully illustrates what it means to walk with God. Walking with God is not about running ahead or falling behind, but it's about trusting his timing, his guidance, his care. But it's not easy. Walking with God requires focus. We need to be sensitive to his call. Because it's not about making our own path, but about tuning in to his guidance. The more we focus, the better we follow. Think about when we gather for worship. We are not just going through a routine, but we are listening for his voice through the Bible carefully. We meditate on his word together. We reflect on it together. And we walk forward in faith as a community. So please, don't take Sunday worship for granted. Because this is the moment when the shepherd, our Lord, speaks to us publicly. The The fascinating thing about Middle Eastern shepherds is how they lead their sheep. It's very interesting because they don't drive behind but lead ahead. As a matter of fact, in the Holy Land, Israel, Palestine, the shepherds don't chase their sheep from behind, waving sticks and shouting. No, they don't push them forward through fear. Instead, they walk ahead. And here's what's amazing. They don't just walk in silence. They call them. They have a sound. Each shepherd has a unique voice. A sound only the sheep recognize. Some shepherds hum a familiar tune, one passed down through generations. Others sing in a steady rhythm, a sound that their sheep knew like a child knows its mother's sound. Or some shepherds play a short melody or a flute, a 10-second tune. And the moment their sheep hear it, they respond. Their heads pop up, their ears twitch, and their feet start moving. Because, not because they are forced, but because they know that call, that sound, that voice. The shepherd calls, and the sheep follow. The voice comes first, and their response comes next. Without the shepherd's call, they would stay lost. Without their response, the call would mean nothing. This is the mystery we see in the scripture. The good shepherd speaks, and his sheep recognize his calling. Because they know the one who calls them. It was the 1930s, and there was trouble in Palestine. This is a real story. In a small village, a young shepherd boy watched as British soldiers took all the animals, such as sheep, goats, and cattle. The British soldiers were punishing the village. Now the boy lost everything. His sheep were all he had. Without them, he had no food, no money, no way to survive. So desperate, the boy went to the soldiers and begged for his sheep back. The soldiers just laughed. Because all the sheep from the village had been rounded up into one large mixed herd. Now, of course, it's impossible to tell one flock from another. How could the boy prove which sheep were his? To the soldiers, all sheep looked the same, so they just laughed. But the boy had a secret. A shepherd's spy. He reached out into the rope and pulled out a small shepherd's pipe. It was old and worn, but he had played it every day while leading his flock. He raised it to his lips and played. A simple tune, but his sheep knew it by their heart. A melody they had heard since they were lambs. As the boy played, something remarkable happened. A moment of stillness hung in the air. One by one, the sheep lifted their heads, their ears twitching at the sound. Then, slowly, they began to move, step by step. The entire flock turned and walked toward the boy. The soldiers stopped laughing. They watched in shock as his sheep separated from the others and followed him without hesitation, without fear. Now the soldier in charge stepped aside and the boy without saying a word, turned and walked away. And his sheep followed him. Why? Because they know his voice. They knew his voice. The moment they heard, no doubt, his call, they knew exactly where they belong. Indeed, our Lord Good Shepherd, he says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they will follow me. But in Egypt, it's completely different. Shepherds there don't lead from the front. They drive their sheep from behind, urging them forward with sticks, pushing them through fear. There's no familiar melody, no gentle calling, just pressure to keep moving, keep moving, keep moving. But out in the open hills of the Holy Land, the shepherd calls them from ahead. And his sheep follow. The good shepherd leads them to green pastures. But finding green pastures is not end of the journey. Imagine in the dry, rocky lands of the Middle East, water is everything. So the shepherd should find the waters too. But what about sheep? They are picky about where they drink. They get nervous so easily around the moving water. Even if it's just a shallow stream, they don't try it. They will back away, too scared to take a sip. That's why the shepherd has to prepare the still water for them. If there is a stream, and he doesn't just let the sheep figure it out. No. He digs a little side channel, creating a quiet pool where the water is still. No noise, no rushing, just a calm spot where they can drink in peace. As soon as the water is calmed by the hands of the shepherd, the sheep step forward one by one. They lower their heads down and take a long, deep drink. No more hesitation, no more fear, just a quiet satisfaction. Their bodies relax, their thirst is gone. And for a moment, everything is still. Peace. Who wrote this? David. David wrote this Psalm 23. The question is, how can he understand this? I mean, he had experienced a full of chaos. He had to run for his life from Saul. Hiding in caves, sleeping on cold rocks, always looking over his shoulder. Desperate, he fled to get the enemy territory. As the Philistine recognized him, he had no choice but to act insane, scratching doors, letting saliva run down his beard just to survive. After his scene with Bathsheba and killing her husband, he was crushed. Once a powerful king himself, now just a broken, horrible murderer, pleading for mercy. He had nothing left to offer, no excuses, no way to fix what he had done. Later in his life, Absalom, his son, rose against him, trying to take his throne. David fled Jerusalem in shame, walking barefoot, his head covered, weeping, A father betrayed by his own son. A king humiliated before his people. David knew what it was like to walk through storms, to lose everything, to carry regret, to feel completely alone. But how could he learn something deeper, even in the wilderness, even in failure, even in heartbreak, that his good shepherd had never left him? How? How could he believe that good shepherd was still leading him? How? It took time for David to see that. Faith doesn't grow overnight. It takes time. It takes walking through seasons of doubt, waiting, and struggling. Like sheep following their shepherd through the tough wilderness. David's painful, long journey finally led him to the profound truth that human beings have a deep, unquenchable thirst. Yet they do not know how to figure it out. They do not have the power to satisfy this. Why? It is because we are not strong enough, or is our thirst simply too great? David realized that the later part was true. Our thirst is greater than anything this world can satisfy. Without God, we are no better than withered grass. No achievement, no success, no earthly fulfillment can take God's place. Without God, is empty. That's why David declared, "He leads me beside still waters." David is not talking about a life with no struggle, but he's saying that even in a dry and barren land, even in the middle of chaos, the Lord, the Good Shepherd, provides the eternal life. Eternal living water. David knew there was still water nearby. Not because his life was gone, but because the shepherd was with him and leading him. If life feels chaotic, if you feel like you are wandering in dry places, listen. The Good Shepherd is with you. Life is noisy. The world keeps changing. The news is full of bad reports. So many voices demanding our attention, pulling us in all different directions. But only one voice leads us to green pastures and still waters. And this is the voice of our Lord Krishna. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns. And yet, your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Jesus says, your life is not in your hands, but in the hands of your heavenly Father. Look at the birds. They don't plant or store food. Look at the flowers. They don't work or spin thread. But your heavenly Father takes good care of them. And aren't you far more valuable than they are? You of little faith. Your Father knows what you need. He is not a distant God, not just a ruler on a throne. He is your shepherd. He sees you. He knows your hunger, your thirst, and your needs. The sheep don't wake up each morning struggling. They don't stress about tomorrow. But they just simply follow the shepherd. Our Lord is not saying our life will be easy. He's not saying there won't be any dry seasons or rocky paths. But he's saying that you are not alone. Because I, the good shepherd, will lead you. I know what you need. I am the good shepherd. I know what you need. I will lead you. The green pastures are here. The still waters are near to you. This was the voice of our Lord Shepherd. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Yes, Lord, you are our shepherd. When you speak, we want to listen. Please sharpen our ears of faith so that we may discern your voice clearly. Keep us from being distracted by the noise of the world and wasting our time on things that do not bear fruit, Lord. Instead, Lord, help us follow your voice and live lives that bear the fruit of your kingdom. Let us believe that you lead us at the right time and to the right place. In the name of Jesus Christ, our shepherd, we pray. Amen.